I'm really glad you found your seat today. Without further ado, church, let's recap what we've studied these past 8 weeks. We've learned what it means to be in Christ and what it demands of us. We've discovered that in Christ, we can be delivered from self and given position and purpose and authority in Christ. Now, to be in Christ, you must be saved through faith in Christ alone. That is the work of regeneration. Amen? Through Christ alone, by grace through faith. In Christ, we're part of a new community. For all who believe and have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, we have access to God through prayer. In Christ, our faith grows and produces a lifestyle of spiritual maturity, which means that in Christ, there is a way that we should not live and a way that we should live, things we should not do and things that we should do. In Christ, our time is a precious resource to be invested wisely. And in Christ, the work of regeneration, it will cause our family relationships to be transformed. As I've stated repeatedly for the past 8 weeks, if read carefully and prayerfully, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it will change the way we live our lives. And frankly, because of the revelation upon which Paul frames this entire epistle, it must change the way we live our lives. Because the revelation upon which Paul frames this entire letter is this: we are a part of a much bigger cosmic world than just the one that we see with our eyes. And in light of that revelation, we must change the way we live our lives. In fact, if you don't get anything else I say today beyond the reading of God's Word, I want you to get this. In Christ, there is a spiritual reality that is just as true and real as the physical world, which you must be prepared to engage against. There is a spiritual reality that is just as real and true as our physical world, and you must be prepared to engage against it. Paul ends this letter to the Ephesians with a topic that he knew very well: spiritual warfare. Paul encountered intense spiritual warfare during his time among the Ephesians. You can read about that in Acts chapter 19. He encountered intense spiritual warfare. Whether you realize it or not, so have you. So have you. The reality is that some of us are aware of the warfare that we're engaged in. Others of us are oblivious to it. We just dismiss it as my boss is having a bad day, or you know, my spouse is just being cranky, or my kids are just misbehaving, and you know, we don't recognize some. I'm not saying that we should see demons around every corner and in everything, but I am saying this: oftentimes what we dismiss as having a physical cause in this world is actually something of spiritual origins. We encounter spiritual warfare, although we often do not realize it. There are spiritual forces that will stop at nothing to destroy you. But how do you defend against an enemy that you cannot see? How do you do that? How do you defend against an enemy that you can't see? If you're in Christ, the answer is the armor of God. The answer is the armor of God. And so I would invite you to turn in your Bible this morning or open your Bible app to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we'll be studying from today. It's necessary for those of us who want to live our lives in Christ to not only be aware of, but engaged in this spiritual reality that we've been talking about throughout this series. We've got to be aware of it. And church, there are a lot of Christians today that are oblivious to it. They're oblivious to the spiritual reality that we're living in. But then we also, once we're aware of it, we've got to be prepared to engage in it in some way. We've got to be prepared to engage in this spiritual reality. The materialistic, mechanistic, naturalistic philosophies that drive the thinking of this present age, they leave no room for things supernatural, or indeed anything lacking a physical cause. And sadly, more and more Christians are so influenced by this thinking that even though they give voice to their belief in evil, even though they give voice to their belief in Satan, even though they give voice to their belief in spiritual warfare, their lives show zero evidence of it. Their lives show zero evidence that they really believe in this spiritual cosmic reality. In truth, many Christians actually live in a state of unconscious belief, or disbelief rather. Unconscious disbelief. They profess it with their mouths, but they don't live it out in their lives. There's no real evidence. They're just giving lip service to it. But they live in a state of unconscious disbelief. And for such people, Paul's closing words in Ephesians is a much needed wake-up call. We're going to be reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. But can we reverence God's Word before we read today? Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Your Word is truth. Your Word is power. Your Word is a firm foundation. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And so we bow our hearts today as we receive Your Word. That Your Word, as we hear it, as we read it, would find fertile soil in our hearts. That it would take root. That it would grow and bear fruit. Teach us today how to fight well in the full armor of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, Paul writes this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Father, thank you again for your word. We bless its reading and its hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Paul's closing counsel to the Ephesians, and he says to them in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. The strength of His might. In the face of cosmic spiritual challenges, it's necessary for us to draw our strength not simply from our physical person, not simply from our worldly experience, but from God. We need to draw our strength from God because He and He alone is the source of spiritual power. And so using a visual illustration all too familiar to anyone living anywhere in the Roman Empire, Paul also speaks metaphorically about putting on, verse 11, the whole armor of God. It is both a command and a promise. It is a commandment and it is a promise. Pay attention, because the command, put on the whole armor of God, the promise, that you may be able to stand. We are living in evil times. We are living in evil days. And if you have any hope of standing firm, if you have any hope of survival, you need to put on the whole armor of God. That's the answer that Paul has to this problem of cosmic powers. So he speaks metaphorically about the armor of God. Only by putting on this spiritual armor will one be able to stand against. And in verse 13 he says, to withstand a cosmic spiritual enemy. Look with me at verse 12. Look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul begins first by exposing our cosmic struggle. You and I are in a cosmic struggle. I hope we're on the same side of that struggle. But we are in a cosmic struggle. You know, a lot of people, they live their lives, man. They go through life lackadaisically. You know, we're just going to sing praise to God. We're just going to, you know, we're not, and we're, and sometimes ignore the fact that we are in a cosmic battle. And that's partly because a lot of the things that are being preached from pulpits today is just this happy-go-lucky, I'm okay, you're okay, this self-help gospel. You know, listen, if you do A, B, and C, you'll be happy all day, and God wants you happy, and God cares about your happiness. Listen, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that God cares way more about our holiness than He does our happiness. God cares way more about our holiness than He does our happiness. We are in a cosmic struggle. And please don't get tripped up by the word cosmic. I'm coming to prefer it to the word spiritual. Here's why. Because oftentimes when we talk about things that are spiritual, most of us think of some disembodied puff. You know, it can't hurt us. It's just some disembodied thing. And, you know, like harmless ghost stories that we tell around the campfire to scare gullible children and the faint of heart. And that's exactly, listen to me, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. That's exactly, listen, somebody told me one time, I don't bother the devil and he don't bother me. That's the most ridiculous, and that, by the way, that was someone who professed to be a Christian. I don't bother the devil and he doesn't bother me. That's ridiculous. Now, let me tell you why he's not bothering you. It's because you have gone to sleep spiritually. And it's time for us to wake up because we are in a cosmic struggle. It is a fact that we cannot, listen, we cannot ignore. The devil wants you to think that these spiritual things, these are things that are outside our understanding and it's outside the physical world and it don't matter, it doesn't affect us, we don't affect it. You just keep on living your life and you just post your selfies on Instagram and you can be happy and just take pictures of your feet and show them. Just be happy and you just live your life and be happy. Don't worry about this spiritual stuff. That's just for fanatics like your preacher. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Cosmic, on the other hand, it captures the truth of all things seen and unseen as equally real and equally existing in the same space and time. There is a cosmic reality that we cannot see with our eyes. It is just as real. It is just as true as the physical, as the seat that you're sitting on. My grandpa used to say, it's just as real as a nose on my face. And he had a big one. Listen, it's real. It's true. And it's not up there or down there. It's all around us. It encompasses us. It is just on the other side of our ability to see. Somebody asked me early on in this series, what is the veil that separates what we see and what we don't? It's time. Time. It is the veil of time. And so this word cosmic, it captures the truth of all things seen and unseen. They're equally real, equally existing in the same time and space. And some of these cosmic elements are good. Some of these cosmic elements are benevolent. But to be quite frank with you this morning, some of these cosmic elements are evil and dangerous. And they are out for you. They are coming for you. And so with his assertion here in verse 12, Paul tells us a few very important truths about this struggle that we are in. This warfare in which we are engaged. First, the struggle is supernatural. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now that's incredibly enlightening because often we get drawn into conflict with people. We get drawn into conflict with institutions when the people and the institutions are merely the instruments of war. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And so when we find ourselves oftentimes in conflict with people, we find ourselves in conflict with institutions. Oftentimes, they are just the weapons being used against you. I'm going to pause there and let that sink in. Because listen to me today. The enemy will weaponize anything and use it against you. He is an invisible enemy, and he will weaponize things that you see. He will distract you with things that you can see. And as long as you are focused on the thing that you can see, you're not focused on him. And you know what he'll continue to do? He will continue to attack you with things you can see. When in truth, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual conflict. It is a cosmic conflict. Throughout the Bible, we read of these spiritual realities. This isn't a new revelation. We read about it throughout the Bible. Realities that at times overlap our physical world, angelic appearances, demonic manifestations. Besides the message of God at work to redeem mankind from their sin, Scripture often allows us to see how many of the things, if not most of the things, that happen in our world are cosmic in nature, meaning they overlap the seen and the unseen world. They overlap, and so we can see, we can go into the Bible and we can see how these things that happen in the political landscape of the world were actually being directed by these cosmic forces. God bringing judgment, for instance, to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, science can look at that and say, well, it was a meteor shower, it was this or it was that. You know, we can go into the geological record and we can look at the geology of these places and we can discover all kinds of really interesting things. And oftentimes, if we look at them through a biblical worldview, they only confirm what Scripture tells us. But the truth of the matter is that through the Bible, we can see that there was more than just a geological thing going on, or more than just a astronomical thing going on. More than natural things, but rather supernatural things that were in charge of these events. These things that overlap our seen and unseen world. The struggle is not only spiritual, the struggle is personal. The word for wrestle, and it only appears this one time, is a very specific word, and it indicates hand-to-hand, close-quarter fighting. The root idea here is this, swaying back and forth while locked in a mortal battle. This is a picture of an enemy who is looking you in the eye as he does his worst to end you. It's personal. And we need to start taking it personally. We need to get mad and start taking it personally. Because we are in a battle and he is looking in you in the eye and he is doing his worst to end you. It is sweat against sweat, breath against breath. The early church leader known as Peter writes this, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." The first thing I tell everyone that I have ever led to Christ is this, you have made an enemy by this decision to follow Christ. And he is going to come at you, and he is going to come at you hard. Because guess what? The struggle is personal. It's personal. And listen, he doesn't care if you go to church. Hear me today. He does not care if you go to church. What he doesn't want you to do is start taking your faith seriously. He doesn't want you to start taking Christ seriously. He don't care if you go to church. And let me tell you what, churches are full of distracted people. Man, they sit there on their phones and the whole, you know, just doing Facebook and sending text messages. And he don't care if you go to church. He can distract you in church just as easily as he can distract you at home. What he doesn't want you to do is to actually start taking what God says in his word as truth and then start doing it. He doesn't want you to take it seriously. It's personal. This struggle is also hopelessly futile if fought in and by our own flesh. Again, we're struggling against cosmic forces. What Paul describes is, look at this, rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers over this present darkness. Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Those aren't my words, those are Paul's. That's how he describes it. And if those seem like pretty serious, pretty heavy terms, they should be. And the fact that he uses such heavy terms should tell you how serious this threat is. And you cannot fight it in your flesh. You cannot fight it in your own power. We're contending with a supernatural enemy who is intelligent, who is strong, who is a master of deception. Listen to me today. He is not some cute little guy with his little pitchfork and his little pointy tail and his cute little horns. That cartoonish kind of thing. And you, by the way, here in about a month, you're going to see a bunch of them running around saying trick or treat. But buddy, let me tell you something. The only trick is on you. If you let evil lure you to sleep. If you start looking at these things as harmless child's play. It's not. It is evil, and it is seeking to devour you, to devour your children, to devour your grandchildren. You say, Pastor Mike, you're scaring me. Good. We should be. We need to wake up, and we need to realize that evil is coming for you. This enemy is intelligent, strong, a master of deception. Writing to the Christians in Corinth, Paul warns the church. He says, for even Satan disguises himself as what? As an angel of light. An angel of light. He'll come to you in harmless ways, subtle ways, but he'll come for you nonetheless. Not only is this enemy powerful, but he also has home field advantage. Don't be deceived, church. This is the devil's world. That's why Satan could make a bona fide offer of the kingdoms of this world to Christ in exchange for Christ's worship of him. So please, 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 don't be deceived into thinking. We sing that song, Is This My Father's World? That's not very theologically sound. People rail against modern worship music. Let me tell you something. I love old hymns, but some of them are about as theologically flimsy as they get, and that one's pretty theologically flimsy. God created it, but sin got into it. And then guess what? He took ownership of it. The only way that Satan could make an offer like that to Jesus is if because he possessed the thing that he was offering. He has home field advantage. He is a thief. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. And seldom does Satan ever attack openly. His strategies are almost always unexpected, unseen, shrewd, and perfectly tailored for you. 17th century theologian Thomas Adams, who has been called the Shakespeare of the Puritans, he writes this, quote, Satan, like a fisher, baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish, end quote. He knows what you're after. He knows what you want. He knows what you desire. And he will take it and he will weaponize it and he will use it against you. Indeed, he will use whomever he can and whatever he can against you. He will hit you, and he will hit you hard. And when he does, listen to me, you are going to need to be spiritually equipped if you want to still be standing when the dust settles. Because let me tell you something. Feel-good religion is not going to cut it in a spiritual battle. And what a blessing it is that God has not left us without the means to defend ourselves against this enemy. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Praise God, He has given us a means to defend ourselves. Now that hopefully I've scared you awake, now that I've scared you awake with the bad news, let me give you the good news. Listen, there is equipment available to you to enable you to not just fight, praise God, but to win in this cosmic battle. Paul explains our cosmic supply. You are in a cosmic struggle, but God has given you a cosmic supply. Praise the Lord. Check this out. I want you to notice both. I want you to notice both in verse 11 and again in 13, Paul's specificity to this: the whole armor of God. The whole armor. You can't just put a piece or two of this on and go out and expect to survive. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because each component is designed to work together with the whole. Now, I'm only going to briefly touch on each of these pieces this morning, mostly because we don't have time to go deep diving into all of it. Our children, by the way, learned a good deal about the armor during this past summer's VBS. What a great time that was. In fact, I heard some of the kids got pretty excited when they walked in and they saw the armor. You know, then that's what we want. Listen, I want people to get excited when we think about this stuff, because listen, this is good news. This is good news to us. Praise God. But I also did a 6-week series on the armor of God. In fact, I think it was Ashley asked me, or we were talking in the war room before church when we were having our prayer time for the worship team. And they were like, you know, we weren't sure if you were going to go there because you just did this 6-week series on the armor of God. But listen, I'm preaching through the book of Ephesians, and you don't preach through the book of Ephesians and skip the armor of God, okay? But I did do a 6-week series. We covered each component in a great deal of detail. You can go back into the audio archives on the media page of our website, or you can go into the video archives or our Facebook page for the series called Equipped for the Battle. It is from the fall of, believe it or not, the fall of 2021. Okay? So that's been 2 years ago. Can you believe that? We did that series, and so you can go back and you can take a deep dive. Listen, we took each piece and we did this over 6 weeks, so there's lots and lots of information in there. So I'm just going to kind of give you a bird's eye view today, but do go back into the archives, either audio on our media page on our website or on Facebook in the video. Everyone around here knows Bellator. We've seen Bellator around here. This is the visual metaphor that Paul used to illustrate the cosmic supply of God that Paul says in verse 11, you should put on. You should put on. And listen, it always makes me happy. I'm always glad, especially the kids, when the kids come up and they say, hey, can I put on his helmet? Or can I hold his shield? Can I hold the sword? And I'm always glad to do that. We've had people dressed up in this, and we've taken pictures of people. People take pictures beside of it. I love that, because, listen, the more we can do to get people familiar with the armor of God, the better. Of making it through this spiritual battle, okay? So here is this this armor that Paul tells us that we should put on. The first piece of this armor is found in verse 14. It is the belt of truth, all right? Truth. Truth is the first piece of this armor. It surrounds you like a belt. It performs a crucial function in spiritual warfare. It's not only central to the soldier's identity, but it also holds the lorica, the breastplate, in place. All right? So truth, we got to put truth on. Listen, truth should be a central part of our identity. But truth will also hold the rest of the armor in place. Why? Because listen, if you don't have truth, you are standing on sinking sand. We live in a world where everybody is following their own truth. We got all this subjective. Everybody's got their own truth these days. I got my truth, and you got your truth. But listen, church, truth is not something. Truth is someone. It is truth with a capital T, understand. And that is the truth that we must put on. We must put on Christ, and we must put on His Word and be uncompromising as we stand in that truth all around us. Not just a little bit of truth, but truth all around us, encompassing us. It is the central to your identity, but it also holds the rest of the armor in place. And so then we have the lorica, the breastplate. A Roman soldier had to have help to put on the breastplate. In the same way, only God can put this peace on you, because it is His righteousness that you must put on, not your own. Let me say that again. It is God's righteousness that you must put on, and not your own. Let me tell you something. Fiery darts of the enemy, they will go right through your righteousness. It'll go right through your right. You want to know why so many Christian leaders are blowing it? Why so many professing Christians are blowing it in our world today? It's because they're trying to walk in their own righteousness. They're trying to put on a facade and make people think, hey, look at me, I'm righteous. But they've never put on God's righteousness. We've got to put on God's. It is His righteousness that we must put on, and not our own. His righteousness. When you have His righteousness, you'll begin to develop and manifest a righteous character and righteous living. What does the breastplate do? It protects your heart, which Scripture says that we must guard with all diligence. Above all else, guard your heart with all diligence. Listen, according to the Word of God, above all else, you're to guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it come the issues of life. So the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of God, and then the righteousness of living life, of holiness, that begins to develop because we've put on the righteousness of God. And it protects our heart. It protects our vital organs. Verse 15. We have the kalagai. We have the shoes. Now, and you're welcome to come up and take a close look at this after service, but you'll notice these shoes have hobnails in them. Well, that's because the Romans invented cleats. The shoes, listen, these are very specific shoes. These aren't just any shoes. These are the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. I know that's a mouthful, but listen, that's what Paul writes. I hate it when we shorten it. We just call it shoes of the gospel or shoes of peace. They're not the shoes of the gospel. They're not the shoes of peace. They are the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You notice that there's some onus on you for preparation. Listen, you do, unless you got slip-ons, you gotta do some work to put your shoes on. Amen. You know, there's some preparation, and same is true with these gospel shoes, with these shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace comes to us in and through the gospel. And you know, and again, these shoes have hobnails on the soles. The Romans invented cleats. And so just as these shoes are designed to provide traction and sure footing on the battlefield, preparation and application of the gospel in your life, it will make you immovable in life's battle. In any situation, you'll have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get peace with God, through Jesus Christ. So we know with these shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, how do you have peace with God? You have it through the gospel, through Jesus Christ. We learn about Jesus Christ from the gospel. The gospel brings us to Christ. It reveals to us the truth of our sin, the truth of God's redemptive plan, and the availability of redemption through Jesus. You will also not only experience peace with God, but you will experience the holy sequel to that, the peace of God. The peace of God. The tragic irony is that many of us don't have the peace of God because we pushed it away through rebellion and through neglect. Mostly, I think, through neglect. In John 14, I want you to understand this. Jesus gave us His personal peace, saying, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And listen, in the peace of God, Paul says, will keep you in Christ Jesus. Did you catch all of that? The peace of God will keep you in Christ Jesus. So lace up your shoes, do the work, the preparation of the gospel, and walk with peace of God and peace with God. Lace up those shoes, dig into the gospel, and be a doer of God's word. Stand firm, child of God. When facing cosmic and spiritual trials, you're not going to want to be without your shield. Verse 16. Verse 16 says to take up the shield of what? The shield of faith. We are to take up the shield of faith, which Paul says is necessary in all, I want you to see that, all circumstances. Not some circumstances, all circumstances. We think faith is, listen, if you think faith is for Sunday mornings, you're deceived. You need the shield of faith in all circumstances. By the way, in the Roman army, showing up without your shield, it was punishable by death. Because your shield wasn't just your shield. It was your buddy's shield. It was your brother's shield as well. Faith will not only protect you from attack, but it will protect your spouse. It'll protect your child, your grandchild, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to me today. As your pastor, I need your shield of faith. I need you to have faith. I need you to have my back just as I have your back. See, we all need to carry our shield. We all need to carry our shield, and we need to make sure that we have one another's back. Finally, in verse 17, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. I love this. Because this is the assurance of your salvation and the resulting confidence that it brings. And when you put it on, you're protecting, listen, you're protecting your head, your mind. It's got a visor, by the way. This visor is intended to protect the vision of a Roman soldier. Your salvation is what protects your vision. Because, listen, there are a lot of distractions in this world. Amen? There are a lot of distractions in this world. Turn on the news sometime. You'll see lots of them. Listen, they're telling you how to think, what to do, where to go, what to think is cool, what to think is fun. And listen, some of y'all are falling for it. A lot of Christians today, they're falling for this nonsense. You got to put your visor down and make sure that your salvation is protecting your vision. It's more than just being saved. It's about the future hope of salvation in Christ. It's about keeping your eyes on the prize. Because listen, there are a lot of discouragements in this world too. There's a lot of hopelessness and helplessness in this world. Lots of troubles, lots of trials. Lots of things, listen, that'll try to get you to pull your eyes off of Christ the prize. Discourage you. People are living today without the hope of heaven. Without the hope of eternity. We need to protect our vision. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize. Finally, there's the sword of the Spirit. The gladius was known as the sword that conquered the world. And this represents the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. In the book Man of God, A.W. Tozer writes this, Satan's greatest weapon, quote, Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's Word, end quote. We take the sword when we read our Bible, when we meditate on it, when we memorize it, when we study it. Listen, don't presume that you are armed and never spend time in God's Word. You are walking around unarmed. You are a sitting duck. You are easy prey for the enemy. Think about this today. Think about this. Most of us spend more time watching the nonsense that they're pumping through our televisions, pumping through our screen. We're spending more time watching that than we do meditating on God's Word. Our kids, listen, our children, are spending on average 32 hours a week staring at screens. And I think that's a low estimate. 32 hours a week staring at screens. If we don't take up the sword of the Spirit, Satan is going to devour the next generation before they ever come to the saving knowledge of Christ. That's the armor of God. How do we put this on? Verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. I really like the way the Message renders verse 18. It says this: prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and pray long. Pray hard and pray long. More and more the mainstream is waking up to these spiritual realities. Sadly, they're not coming up with the right answers. I'm sorry, it's not aliens. It's demons. I'm sorry, it's not ghosts. It's spiritual powers.
Well, the ghost of my grandmother come to me and...
Satan is a liar. Satan will come at you as an angel of light. The mainstream's waking up to this. And the church is, we've got our head in the sand. We don't even have answers for this stuff. We don't even have answers for this stuff. We need answers because the Word of God has answers to this stuff. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. We get answers. Mainstream's waking up. They're just not getting the right answers. But they are waking up. The Atlantic, for instance, mainstream. The Atlantic is covering exorcisms and issues surrounding them. I know Christians, that's just nonsense. I've performed exorcisms. I've cast demons out of people. I can tell you, it is not nonsense. It is not nonsense. The mainstream, the world is waking up to this. And Christians are walking around going, it's not real. It's not real. It is real. Again, we gotta wake up from this unconscious disbelief. Because there is a growing body of evidence that's being reported on. That there are things going on around us that naturalism or science cannot explain. But the Word of God does. And as we move closer, listen to me, as we move closer to the return of Christ, you're going to experience even more mergers of these two realms. And the warfare is only going to intensify. We're at war, church. It is a cosmic struggle that requires you and I to take up our cosmic supply. The struggle is real. The enemy is real. The armor of God is real. We must always wear this armor. We must walk in it. We must work in it. We must rest in it. Sleep in it. And though wearing it, still put it on every single day. And then having done all, make your stand. Stand tall. I don't care if you got to open up Ephesians chapter 6 every morning and read through it and pray it on like you're getting dressed in the morning. If that's what you've got to do, do it. You've got to put on this armor and make your stand. Stand tall, stand confident, knowing that in Christ you have what you need to fight and to win. Be strong in the Lord. Fight side by side for the faith of the gospel and do not be frightened in anything by your opponents. In God's armor, you're the stuff of Satan's nightmares. Make sure he sees what he is up against. Resist him with prejudice and he will flee. And so I say to you today, raise your sword, Church of God. Raise it up, raise it to the Lord in worshipful salute and give God a shout of praise. So what do we learn today and how can we apply this to walk in the wisdom of Paul's letter to the church of the Ephesians? Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are under constant attack by cosmic forces. Suit up. Stay prepared. Stand strong in Christ. Finally today, I've been enjoying, in what little downtime that I've had lately, the new Star Wars series, Ahsoka. It tells the story of a disillusioned Jedi warrior on a quest to find a long-lost comrade in a galactic war now being fought in the shadows. At one point, she's confronted by her fallen master in a sort of world-between-worlds sort of scenario. And so, as she is confronted with her master, she asks him, "But what if I don't want to fight?" To which he replies, "Then you die." I think there is a powerful truth there today, because I know a lot of believers who at least don't look like they want to fight. I've encountered a lot of believers who tell me that they're tired of the fight. I've seen a lot of believers over the many years who have just walked away from the fight. And so if that's your question today, "But what if I don't want to fight?" My answer is this: then you die. On this side of eternity, you will always have to fight. But praise God, you're not without the resources to wage this war and to win. In Christ, you're chosen, you're called, you're set apart, you're empowered, you're equipped. Made alive in Him, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you. The Holy Spirit of God is alive inside of you. You no longer follow the course of this world. You walk in the wisdom of heaven. You walk in the favor of God. You're no longer children of wrath, you're children of light. When you walk into a room, light walks in with you. Hope walks in with you. Hope walks into that room. Faith walks into that room. Your light can scatter darkness. Your hope can break the chains of despair. Your faith can move mountains. On this side of eternity, you will always have to fight. But spoiler alert, Christ wins. Are you His this morning? Amen. Give Him praise. Stand with me today. Stand with me. Are you His? Are you His? Are you His? Because listen, He only issues this armor to those that are His. Before you can put on this armor, you must put on Christ. The worship team's going to come. They're going to sing. We're going to sing. We're going to sing with them. As we sing today, if you're not His, listen. There's a prayer on the screen. That's not the end-all, be-all. That's just the starting place. If you're home, you can pray right where you're at. You can pray standing in your seats today. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'm going to be over here. Dorinda will be over here. We'll pray with you. Are you His today? Are you winning the battle? Or are you discouraged? Are you standing firm? Or are you about to lay down your sword and walk away? Be encouraged today. Somebody said to me this week, "I feel like God's forsaken me." I said, "I understand. I felt that way too." Nothing wrong with feeling that way, but the truth is this. Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." God is with you. If you are His, He is with you. He is standing with you. And He is holding the equipment in His hands, and He is waiting for you to take it and to put it on. He is waiting for you to hear the marching orders. And I'm going to promise you something today. It's not my promise, it's God's promise. You march, He'll bring down the wall. Do you believe that today? You march, He'll bring down the wall. Don't let that wall discourage you. Don't let that obstacle, listen, don't let that obstacle stop you. Put on the armor. You march. Watch Him bring down that wall. Father, thank You for Your word. It's power. And we've just heard a powerful word that You have not left us defenseless in this cosmic struggle. And so, God, I'm praying today for this army that's standing here in this auditorium, who are watching Thy live stream today. I'm praying, Father, give them the courage to take up the armor, to put it on, and to stand firm. Because in You, Lord Jesus, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We are more than conquerors through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. Nothing but the blood, amen.
Brother Mike.
Yes.
I'm sorry. If you want to kick me out of the church, do it after this. Come, you two, come here. Debbie, would you like to come? Listen, people. You are my family. Some of you already know that. I have struggled with you and prayed with you and fought with you, and you prayed for me in my ministry here when I was able to touch your children and minister to them. When you're fighting it by yourself, that's a sin. You're my family. And I don't know how to pray if you don't share it with me. And there's people here that love you and want to lift you up when your struggles come. I don't know who else to share it with but you. And I want to share some things with you. Daniel and his beautiful wife have lost their child. I don't know how that hurts. Ever had that happen to anyone? I've had it happen twice in my family, but not to me. God's been very gracious to me, and I'm not saying that God's picked me out special. I'm just saying it hadn't happened to me. But I can't imagine how that hurts. This beautiful family, this young lady's fighting a cancer. She was willing to just let it go. So I'm going to tell you, she needs our prayer. They have just come. Brother Mike just said, when you become a Christian, when you start that fight, you're in a battle. Now, I'm not saying that this child has cancer because of the battle, but I'm saying they're young in the fight. Relatively young Christians. I've been there. I'm sorry, I'm preaching. I'll shut up. What I want you to do is come down here and let's surround these people. Debbie has lost loved ones and is going through a fight. Karima has made her fight by herself. It just fascinates me. I ask her all the time, how you doing? She's great. You know that's not true. She's fighting a fight. If there's someone else who needs it, come down. We'll pray with you. Come, church, let's surround these people.
Father in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. We come to you and we stand with our brothers and sisters. We stand with them in the fight. They don't fight alone. But Lord, you are there fighting with them. You're there fighting for them. We fight with them and we fight for them. God, we stand together firm. We stand strong. We stand with faith and trust in you. We stand knowing that you are the Lord, the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for you. When the world says it can't be done, when the doctors say there is no hope, God, you are our hope. Lord, you are the God of the impossible. You make the impossible possible, God. All things are possible with you. Lord, we stand with our brothers and sisters who are in the fight, who are fighting. We come against cancer in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it in Jesus' name, knowing that Jesus is more powerful than cancer. We come against discouragement. We come against death and disease. We come against it in the name of Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And so we pull down this stronghold today in the name of Jesus. This stronghold of death, this stronghold of disease, this stronghold of loss, this stronghold of discouragement. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We stand in our faith. We stand in the hope that we have in Christ. We stand on the promises of the Word of God. We put our trust and our faith in you. You are our healer. You are our provider. You are our hope. You are our peace. We thank you, God. We thank you that we're not alone, that you stand with us and that you surround us with people of faith who will stand with us, who will pray with us, who will weep with us, who will sing with us. We're thankful, Lord, that even though sorrow endures for the night, the joy comes in the morning. And so, God, I'm praying, Lord, for the restoration of joy, for the restoration of peace, for the restoration of hope. I know it's possible through you. And so, God, we entrust these people to you. Knowing, God, that you've got them and that nothing can pluck them from your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, bring somebody with you. Invite somebody to come with you. There are people who need the kind of community that we're building here, all right? And now today, once again, the great benediction of Paul to the church of the Ephesians. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love in corruptible. Go scatter darkness, break chains of despair, move some mountains, be the church, make it a great week.